Hi, folks. This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 22. This time I'm recording it on my iPhone. Going to check that out, see how that sounds. Hopefully it sounds pretty good. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about here is my opinion and from my experiences with guitars, amps, and effects, and playing guitar. Please chime in with comments and questions, and emails to info@theguitarpodcast.net. Also, you can go to the guitarpodcast.net and click like and join me on Facebook. Also, a new feature is we have a Guitar Podcast YouTube page. Currently, there are only two videos on there, but they correspond with the last two episodes when I talk about exercises. Yeah, the episode 20 where I talk about, I think, the chromatic scale and, or chromatic exercise, I should say. And episode 21, I talk about working on hammer-on and pull-off exercises. It'll improve your finger strength and agility and legato licks. So you can go there and you can get a direct link right to the Guitar Podcast YouTube page, or you can go to youtube.com/user/guitarpodcast. And it's a black page and you'll see the Guitar Podcast logo on there and so on. And check it out. This week I want to talk about, I had a conversation with a friend at work who is several years older than me, but he's 50. And we got to talking about playing guitar a little bit, and he was kind of down on himself about his skill level and so on. And I said, well, have you taken any lessons? He goes, he hasn't had any formal training. And I said, well, he said that he'd had some group lessons, like several people. And I said, well, that's fine and everything, but if you want to really get better or have more enjoyment, I'd highly suggest having private lessons. He had a hard time justifying spending money on himself for guitar, for guitar lessons and stuff. And I was like, I didn't quite get that. I said, you wouldn't spend $20 on yourself for a week for guitar lessons? And he said, well, I'm 50 and that, you know, I don't know. I think I know where he was going with it, but it didn't sit well with me. And I encouraged him, no, man, really, you know, you could take $20 and go have a really nice dinner, but at the end of the night, what are you left with? You know, you have to loosen your belt a little bit and, you know, it's down the tubes, man. You know, the experience is gone. But say once a week, you go and have a decent guitar lesson, you're learning a skill and you're getting better and you take that with you and that stays with you. Also, say you know a few songs or whatever, then you learn something else that challenges you more and pushes you further, and you learn something else, and then you go back, I mean, that makes you better, and then you go back and play the other songs that you already know, or the other techniques, you'll find that you're better at doing those because you've pushed yourself further in this other area. I told him about, you know, my podcast, and he was like, wow, he didn't know I was doing this, but that wasn't my focus. My focus was to get him playing guitar and taking lessons and getting better. And it's about enjoyment and something I think I may have said before, but I believe that anybody can play guitar to a level of enjoyment and satisfaction. And I didn't see that he was really getting it. I think maybe he enjoyed it to a point, but was really down on himself. And I'm like, you know, go for it. And that, you know, 15 minutes a night, you can really do a lot. You can get better 15 minutes a night. And he said, well, I don't have 15 minutes a night. I said, okay, well, 4 nights a week. You know, 4 days a week, spend 15 minutes. And he said, I could probably do that. But we're trying to encourage him to go and take lessons. And, you know, 50, man, that's not really old considering the average lifespan nowadays, especially for healthy adults, taking care of themselves and eating right and so on. You know, that's, and of course, me looking at 50, which that's kind of crazy for me to think that that's not too far off. I mean, it's more than a decade away, but for real. You know, I used to think that 30-something was pretty old, that 30 was old. When I was playing in bands when I was in my early 20s, I wanted to be playing in bands with guys my age, but it just wasn't working out. But I was playing with really good musicians who were older than me, and it was working out pretty well. I mean, that was pretty cool, but, you know, they were kind of old. But now I'm older than those guys, so anyway, you know, we're back then, older than those guys were back then, let me clarify. So anyway, I'm 39. I will reveal, oh my. But yeah, thinking about 50, when I was teaching lessons when I was 20, there was a guy who came in and he was a regular, and I was teaching him lessons every week, and he was in his 60s at least. And the guy wanted to learn, he wanted to play, he wanted to have a good time, and he was faithful, and I loved it. But this is so cool. I mean, I had students that were 5, 6, 7 years old, of course, the teenagers, and young adults, some college students, some housewives, all different people came in. But the people who were, one of the people that was most memorable was this old guy that I taught lessons to, and that was really cool. So, I mean, he'd played for quite a while, but just a little bit here and there, he wanted to learn more, and he was in retirement, and it was something he was rewarding himself with. And I'm saying, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but don't wait until retirement to do this. Do it now. Who says we have retirement? You know, live today. Play guitar today. Don't think, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. I mean, you've got today. You've got to do it now. I mean, how many of us are going to have retirement? I don't know if I will. You know, you may be in retirement. I don't know, but don't wait. Do it now. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy guitar. I mean, there's a reason why you wanted to play. Everybody has their own reason. Maybe I'll cover that in a podcast later on about what drove me to play guitar and have so much focus on it and drive to play, you know, and practice all the time and play and want to go play with other people and just, you know, the passion for guitar in general. But don't let age be an issue. I mean, if I don't care if you're 5 or 35 or 55 or 75. Or older, I don't care how old you are. If your fingers can move and you want to do it, and you can hear, do it. Play. Learn. Go take some lessons. Go find some folks who know how to play. Play with them. Do it, man. That's all I'm saying. And of course, if you're hearing this podcast for the first time, you know, and you hadn't heard any of the other podcasts, go back in the archive and look. I haven't pulled off any of the old episodes, so go back and check that out. There are a few episodes where I talk about picking out a guitar or choosing a guitar teacher. Go for it. Don't let age be an issue, and don't put it off until retirement or, you know, next year. If you have a little bit of time and you don't have to spend an arm and a leg on a guitar, I cover that too. It's not like when in the early 80s, when I was coming up, and if you got a $90 guitar or $100 guitar, it was really junk. It sounded terrible, and the strings were a half inch off the fretboard. You couldn't play it, hurt your fingers. It wouldn't stay in tune. Nowadays, I mean, for the last at least 20 years maybe, they've been making guitars very inexpensively. That really perform fairly well, sound decent, feel good, they stay in tune, the action isn't terrible. I mean, it's not like my Les Paul, but I mean, you know, you're not talking about, you know, a $2,000 to $5,000 guitar. You're talking about something under about $200 or less, or if you buy it used, maybe even better, or you can find something at a garage sale. Who knows? I'm just saying, don't let that keep you back. I can't say it enough. That's why I've said it a million times. Okay, I'm moving on. Next thing I want to talk about, I was asked, got to pop open the email. I got an email from David who thanked me for the last podcast on Legato. And you're welcome. It's really cool. Did you dig it? And he says, I had another thought for a podcast subject. This is a good one, I think. How would you go about setting up your tone, particularly when you are using an amp or a guitar you are not familiar with? I recently bought my first decent amp. He says a Vox AC30, which is a legendary amp up there with, you know, the Fender Tweeds or the or a Marshall Plexi and the JCM800s. But the AC30 is very popular amp, very good amp. And while he says, I digress. And while I have played around with all the knobs, I'm sure there must be more logical way about going about getting a particular tone from an amp you are not familiar with. Should you start with all the settings at zero or at 12 and then start fiddling? What tone or volume settings should your guitar be on when you do this? Obviously, you have to start with an idea of the tone you're looking for, clean, dirty, you're just breaking up a little bit, etc. Is there a best way of going about this? Something worthy of discussion? Cheers. David from Australia. I think that's so cool, and I'm getting an email from somebody from Australia. He says, feel free to use his name, and I just did. So I would say, yes, it does depend on what tone you're trying to go for. I don't have a whole lot of experience with the AC30s. All I know is that they sound really cool. And the louder you push them, the better they sound. And that pretty much the case with most tube amps. When you get them opened up, so they say, loud enough, they change. They get a bigger sound. It's not just louder. There's a point where you can take an amp and turn it up like 2 or like whatever, a nice indoor volume or whatever, you know, an inside voice, you know. And it sounds okay, but that, you know, you can get a lot of distortion and it's okay, but it still sounds small. And you can start turning an amp up. And my Marshall 900 that I played back in the 90s, right around 4.5, it opened up and it started to get its sweet spot. So that you're not getting, I didn't want to push it beyond that because it just gets louder from there. The sound is the same. It sounds great. But it just gets louder at that point. So I wanted to get it to where it opens up and it sounds big and great and awesome. And then it can compete with the drummer and everything. But about 4.5 is where I usually played it. I'm sure, you know, louder is always more fun, but neighbors don't always like that. You know, that's something you have to deal with. Like somebody said before, most of us aren't playing in bands or anything, so you know, bedroom volume or basement volume or whatever is, you know, you're not going to get that big, fat sound. So that's something you have to think about when you're looking for an amp. Is it going to be something that you're going to play in the house after the kids have gone to bed or whatever, you don't want to disturb the rest of the house? Or is this something that you're going to play and you can play loud? So, or is it, you know, going to be both? Say, you could still get the tone right at a low volume and figure out, you know, where it's going to be okay. My Marshall in particular, I know that, you know, you could put everything straight up, you know, the treble, middle, and bass at 12 o'clock, which is right about, you know, it's 5 on the dial, and get an okay tone. But I pretty much, unless it's in a closed back 412 or 410 speaker cabinet, I turn the bass all the way up to 10. If it's in an enclosure, I can back it off to 8 because it gets plenty of bass. But, you know, I crank that bass all the way up to 10 on a Marshall. You know, it sounds pretty good at, you know, with everything at noon. It's just a nice amp. And then I could do a lot of my tones with my other, addition and subtraction on the tone on my guitar pedals, on the distortion pedals or overdrive pedals. You know, a good way to start out is with everything at noon. And if you have a presence knob, I'd leave it right about noon too, because basically that opens things up a little bit too. It's just a different kind of a knob. Say you have those three knobs at noon. Say you want a little more bass, add a little more bass, or subtract some. You know, tweak them back and forth. You need more treble, more treble. Something that, you know, if you're wanting to play blues, you back that bass off a bit, and you push the mids more, and you back the treble off. So say the treble's around three or four, right around that area, your mids up at about 1 or 2 o'clock maybe, and then your bass a little less than, because if you're playing blues, I'm guessing you might be playing a strat in the neck position, and the neck position of a strat has a lot of bass. So, you know, you're trying to push that mid tone, and if you have too much bass in the amp, you're going to be competing with your bass player, and it's just not going to, it's not going to work out as well. So, but for the tone that I usually go for on my Marshall, that's what I do. But my Gibson GA40, it only has one tone knob. It has a volume and a tone. So that makes things really easy. You just move that tone knob around until it sounds right. You know, that's something that's really kind of nice. Like the Carmen Ghia by Dr. Z, that's its thing too. I'm pretty sure it just has a volume and a tone knob. And that's just awesome. I mean, how it's simple, but for real, you get, it's easy to dial in. You know, and it's a funny thing, say you're playing the blues, you don't have to have a whole lot of distortion. A lot of times, use less distortion than what you think you actually need, and use a booster pedal to push it beyond. Just reading an interview with Zach Wild, and his amp normally is set to where if he's just playing rhythm, he says he has that Malcolm Young tone where you hit it, it sounds cool, but it has almost no sustain. But then whenever he hits his pedal for a solo, that gives, you know, a little boost and all the sustain he needs for the solo. But when he's playing regular, it's not. So that's kind of a cool approach, and I really kind of like that for any kind of music you're playing. Whether it's playing, you're playing country, blues, or rock, or metal, or classic rock, or whatever, you know. That's kind of a neat approach, and I really like that. I mean, that's coming from a metal guy. I really like that approach. So then, you know, if you're playing the blues, don't use as much distortion as you think you might need, or overdrive. Now then, if you're playing a little more rock, you kind of have that, or classic rock, you kind of have a similar approach, but you might want to add a little more bass. And now, what sounds good at home, at that low volume, may sound different when you turn it up and get to that sweet spot where the amp opens up and starts sounding really big, not just because it's so loud, but it just starts sounding big. That's because the power tubes are you know, fully engaged. Now then, another thing is whenever you get to play with a bass player, you may find that, hey, you know, I need to pull back on the bass on my amp because I'm competing with him. And it's like, you need to, a guitar is a mid-range instrument. That's where it punches through. That's one of the reasons why a Marshall was deemed as so loud, because it stood out so much, because it had such a mid punch. And same thing with a Tweed Fender and a Vox, they hit the midsection really well. Now then, if you're playing metal, a big thing that they like to do, see, like your hair band metal bands didn't do this as much, but say your Metallicas and maybe Dragon Force and others, they get this scooped tone. That's where you take almost all the mid out. I mean, you crank the distortion, so you have a ton of distortion, but you take the mid almost all the way out, have the treble around 12 o'clock, maybe a little more, and the bass, you know, you could turn it all the way up or back it off, either way, but it's more than noon, and that can be adjusted once you're playing with a bass player, of course, but and Mesa Boogies have an enormous base, so I wouldn't recommend pushing a Mesa Boogie to 10 on the base, on the base knob. I wouldn't do it, really. It's just too much. But they're a great amp to scoop, I can tell you that much. The rectifiers, they're awesome for that. And I mean that. But anyway, so you can take that same tone and start adding mid back in around, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock, and you get more of your hairband rock, big arena rock kind of a tone. So I don't know if that really helps a whole lot. You know, if you have a presence knob on your amp, which I don't think they do on AC30s, but if you do have one, that's when it kind of opens it up into, I always felt like it added more treble. When I was playing speed metal back in the day, the bass and the presence were both wide open, both on 10. The mid was down about one or nothing. And then my treble was up at about 6.5, 7-ish, and the distortion was as much as I could possibly get. But yeah, the presence is supposed to open it up a little more, kind of emulate that cranked amp sound. I'm not sure how effective that is. On my Marshall, I have it at noon too. It just naturally has a nice warm tone. The way I set it up right now is it just barely has any hair to it. Just enough to warm up the tone, and then I don't want too much treble, not too much bass, not too much mid. Just want it to be nice, a nice woody sound when I strum it without any pedal on. And then I start hitting it with pedals. I've been considering seriously about going back to the old way of, I already have started taking pedals off my board, but I'm seriously thinking about pulling things down even more to where the amp is sitting at a sweet spot where you hit it hard and it breaks up, you pick light, it still has some distortion, you turn your the volume down a notch or two on my guitar and pick softer, I have a nice clean tone. I'm not wanting to go back to the days when all I had was a volume pedal, a wah pedal, and my, you know, guitar and amp. I'm thinking about something similar, something much more modest than what I have been running. And, you know, I certainly want to keep the delay on there and a couple overdrives and the volume and wah, but, you know, having a ton of overdrives on there, I don't think is quite necessary, especially for what I do. You know, I think that's pretty much the approach I want to go with for my rig here on out. Well, at least for now, because I know I'll change my mind eventually, right? We do that. David, I hope that helps out. If you want to throw some follow-up questions my way, feel free. I certainly recommend going on YouTube and checking out people playing through AC30s. And seeing what they're doing. And I was hoping I might be able to get out and mess around with one. I've played on a few, and they were neat amps. I think it'd sound really cool turned up and then put some, like, a treble booster or something in front of it to really push it over the edge. But I'm pretty sure that Brad Paisley used an AC30 or AC15 in the early days, before he got with Dr. Z, and he had great tone with those. Great country amp, great rock amp, probably a pretty good choice there. Those British amps, you pretty much can't go wrong. A good tube amp is a good tube amp is a good tube amp. You know, whatever works. And, you know, I'd love to have a Dr. Z and an AC30 and a Plexi and a bunch of other amps, but, you know, for the most part, I'm fairly happy with the two amps that I have. So yeah, I hope that helps out, and I hope my ramblings weren't too terribly bad. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please chime in with comments and questions to info@theguitarpodcast.net. I'll either reply back with an email or on a future show, and lately it seems like more than likely going to be on a future show because I'm getting more emails. And it's really cool. I like it. I like hearing from you. And like David did, you know, let me know where you're from, if you don't mind me throwing that out on the air. I think that's really cool. You know, he's from Australia. You know, I look at the analytics of who's, well, where people are downloading from. And I mean, I can't see who's downloading what and, you know, all that stuff. I can see how many downloads per episode and which countries, how many per country, or how many hits per country and stuff like that. And it's really cool to see that people in China, New Mexico, Canada, England, France, Australia, Saudi Arabia, I'm pretty sure. It's really cool. I mean, I should really keep a list of all the countries that it's in. I'm pretty sure I'm on all the continents. So it's just really cool to see that. So whenever you email me, if you want to tell me what country you're from, or if you're from the States, whatever state you're from, that's cool. You know, give a shout out to your homeland. And join me on the Facebook page. Check out the videos on YouTube. And this is Lauren Hunt, signing off for the Guitar Podcast.